Well, hello out there, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. Chris Lorton here, and my guest today, Tammy Wilson. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, Tammy, you grew up here in Jersey.
I did.
Right? Yeah, and you operate the local antique store or consignment store, State Street Antiques, correct?
I do, yep.
And it's been in the family for many years?
It has. My mom and dad owned it, and I inherited it.
Oh, okay. So, Tammy, a little bit. So, you grew up in Jersey, and you went to college.
Yep, local girl, graduated from Jersey County High School and went to Illinois State after that.
Yeah, and you have some children?
4 kids, yep.
Okay, nice. How old are your kids now?
Well, we won't talk about that because I'll show you how old I am. So, old enough to have grandkids. How about that?
Oh, you got some grandkids?
I have grandkids. That's what's important, right?
Yes. How about, you told me that your husband passed away.
Yep, a few years ago. He's a Vietnam vet, so.
Okay. And you also live in Alaska.
I do, North Pole, Alaska.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, just down the street from Santa Claus.
Yeah. So how many months a year do you spend in Alaska?
Well, I spent all 12 months there, you know. Oh, yeah. Then the only time I leave is to, you know, come down here to the store. I've got my brother and sister live down here, and then I have kids that live in Wisconsin and Florida. So kind of do that tour and stop by here in between.
So you traveling back, and how many times do you come back to Jerseyville throughout the course of the year, usually?
2 or 3 times.
2 or 3?
Yep.
Okay. And we happen to have you back now.
I am, yeah. I decided to bring the cold weather down with me. They've all told me I need to go back and take it with me. So
talking a little bit before we came on the air, you said you traveled with the kids.
I did. My husband worked for Laclede Steel, and during that time, Laclede Steel got sold. And so he had his 30 years in, he retired, and we're like, hey, you know, we can spend the same money on the road or just stay at home and do nothing. We homeschooled the kids, so we had the opportunity to take them to all 49 states. Say, at least you can't, like, drive to Hawaii, so that one had to go
sure.
on hold.
Uh-huh.
But we take different. We went down the Lewis and Clark Trail. We went all the way up to Maine and saw all the crabs and lobster.
Uh-huh.
Florida, you know, we had a little map on the back of our camper so the kids could put down the states. And it was so weird because at the end we ended up with, like, Utah. And we'd gone through all the states around, so we had to go back out west, you know, but they, you know, had a favorite aunt that lived in Arizona to catch that last state so that they could, you know, mark it. But we made Alaska our last, you know, one because, I don't know, I just thought, you know, we'd heard so much about it. And that
it was your last,
the last
hurrah.
One. Yep.
And you drove, how long did it take you to get up there? On that
well,
trip.
We took about 6 or 7 days. We took the Canadian highway and stopped by and did a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, along the way. So we weren't in a hurry. We wanted to make sure that we hit every town. So we went down to Skagway and back up and saw that. And then finally got into the, you know, interior and went down to Valdez to do, you know, halibut fishing and all that fun stuff.
Okay. And what made you want to live in Alaska?
Really, it was opportunity. Our kids were teenagers at the time, and unfortunately here, things were changing, and there wasn't as many jobs, and really...
What year was this?
Oh, wow. About 2008.
Okay. Not that long ago.
Not that long ago. Yeah. And you know, now, you know, some of our kids stayed, 2 stayed, and, you know, I got one in Florida and one in Wisconsin, so they got their degrees and, you know, never looked back, so...
And you continue, do you live in the town or out in the country or where do you live?
I live out in the country, so I'm part of the North Pole area.
Uh-huh.
I represented that area as a state representative for 11 years.
How about that?
And so that was pretty cool because, I mean, for me, it's all about the people, right? And their way of life and kind of that hold back and enjoy things for the moment. You know, it's not a fast pace. People aren't trying to, like, run people over, which feels like sometimes here.
Yeah.
It's just and then we're a big military town. We have a big Air Force base and a big Army base. And so that also brings kind of a different flavor to town.
Yeah. So are people from Alaska, like, okay, let's just say a group of people, you're the population. have a lot of them lived there forever or have they moved in the last 20 years or what?
Yeah,
what's
a lot
it like
us, you know, a lot of transplants, a lot of people who got tired of whatever it was back home, maybe more government or more rules or crowded, all sorts of different reasons. And a lot of it's military. Military would bring them up and then, you know, they might get stationed somewhere else and many would come back during retirement and stay.
But it's so cold in Alaska, right?
I don't know. It's pretty cold here with the wind. But
I know it is cold here.
But it is kind of funny because it's like I left at negative 34.
Negative 34.
And just even get on the plane, we couldn't get on. The doors were frozen, so we had to move to a different one there. So I guess it was a little colder than normal. But like, you know, we talked about it earlier, till it gets zero, we don't even look for our coats.
What?
And our gloves. Because you get used to the temperatures, right? I think now if I got into 100 degree temperatures, which I grew up in, I feel like I would melt. But 0 degrees, it's like, oh, you know, it's still fall. Not bad.
Yeah. You know, they always say about where we live, how there's moisture in the air. I mean, I know if I go out to Colorado, it might be 0 degrees, but it's not like our 0 degrees.
Oh, absolutely. My uncle actually lived in Alaska, and he'd come home, and we'd make fun because he'd be like, it's so cold here. And we're like, what do you mean it's so cold here? Look where you were coming from. But, you know, being in the interior is a dry cold. We don't get a lot of wind.
So it's a dry
cold. We
don't
get the moisture.
Right.
Right. And that makes a huge difference.
Okay. That does make a huge difference.
But we also build bigger fires in our home so that that fireplace keeps you warm as well.
How about utilities? Like, people that don't have fireplaces, they use gas? Gas reasonable?
We have a little gas, but most of it's heating oil.
Heating oil.
We still use, yes. They went through that whole, everybody was electric until electric got expensive, and then they went to heating oil. We just now have gas available to some who live within, you know, the more populated, you know, areas inside the city, but in the rural area, it's still heating oil. Yep, go fill it up, pump it up, and put it down in your tank.
A lot of hunting in Alaska?
A lot of hunting. Yeah.
What
Moose,
else?
Moose, sheep, you know, bear.
Uh-huh. And do you hunt yourself?
I do not hunt myself.
No.
You know, I cook the stuff they hunt.
Yeah.
So.
any of your kids, or they hunt?
Yep, kids did. My husband did. You know, I mean, it's part of the way of life. You know, snow machining during, you know, the winter when everything, you know, lakes and rivers freeze over, you can pretty much go anywhere on a snow machine that you need to.
Okay. Is there any Indian reservations close to where you live?
So we have no Indian reservations because, you know, we are, it is Alaska Native. So it's not like the Indian reservations you have here. They don't have any reservations in the state of Alaska. They have villages in which, you know, they used to in the day, they would follow the river down as hunting got that way. Then they became more established. And many of our villages, the only way in and out is through plane. There are no roads to the majority of Alaska.
Okay. But you got 6 months out of the year that it's warmer, right? Or how many months is it?
So come April, it starts warming up, uh-huh. You know, as we get to 24-hour daylight, which is fascinating because you don't think about it. Because here, when we were here, right, as it gets dusk, you know, it's time to go make dinner. You're hungry. You know, you do the whole works based on the sun.
Right.
And there you don't, because all of a sudden you're like, man, it's time to eat. And you look at the clock, it's like 11 p.m., midnight, because it doesn't get dark. Literally, it's 24-hour daylight. And
how long,
it's pretty awesome.
How long do you have that?
So it gets to the solstice in June.
Yes.
You know, to where, and that's fun. If you ever watch our news, it talks about how many minutes more we've gained and have right now. It's how many we lose.
Right.
Because we'll keep losing until, well, just a couple of weeks from now. And then, you know, the winter solstice will happen. We'll start gaining a minute here, and then 3 minutes, 4 minutes until we get all the way to June. And it's fun to watch people because how do you sleep? Well, like any place, right? As you get used to it, it stops bothering you.
Yeah. And you love it there.
Yeah. Or you put shades on, right? Yeah. There's ways to make the sun stay out during the middle of the night.
But what makes you love it so much that you'd move there and stay there?
You know, it's the people, it's the opportunity. I mean, it's kind of that laid back. I mean, everybody, it's kind of fun because everybody kind of moved away for a reason, right? So that's kind of your commonality because of something you know. But what's fascinating is to watch them try to put it back and like, didn't you move away from that? Why would you want to do that now? Take those ideas and leave it. And it's just kind of more laid back, you know, the, like you said, the hunting, fishing, you know, subsistence type of, you know, living, knowing that no matter what the world turns to, you know, outside your back door, you can make it.
How about houses, property, land? what's the expense there? Is it compared to here?
It's a little higher because only 1% of Alaska is actually in private hands. Most of it is in government hands, you know, between
1%.
1%. Yes. So if you ever look at the maps, it'll be like these little dots, you know, and then you'll see all this vast area land-wise that, you know, is owned by the federal government, the state, or tribal portions of it. But yes, very little is actually owned by private entities.
So
it's pretty precious.
So a house that was maybe $200,000 here would be what there?
Probably about $300,000.
Oh, it would?
$350,000. You know, but we don't build big houses, right? Because back to, it's cold. So you don't want to waste a lot of your energy.
Right.
You know, on things like that.
And do people spend a lot of time outside?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because
it's nice.
Yeah. I mean, and you're used to it, right? I mean, my sister-in-law lives in Arizona and gets like to 110. I can't even imagine. What do you do at 110?
Yes.
You know?
Well, hey, let's talk a little bit. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Tammy Wilson with me. She runs the State Street Antique Jim's, used to be called Jim's Attic.
So it started as Jim's Attic with my dad. He started a little shop. He collected so much, my mom finally was like, you got to do something about this. You know, I need my house back. So down in Mineral Springs in Alton, they just rented a little spot.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. The first time we did inventory, we described everything. Well, when it came and sold, you didn't always describe it the same way. So it was hard to really keep inventory. So then we started numbering everything.
Yeah, numbering makes sense.
It might have been the green item then. Somebody saw it as something else. And they outgrew that little space, and they got a bigger space. And then finally they outgrew it. And my brother had a furniture store up here where he was making mattresses and things. And they moved in the upstairs of what is now State Street Antiques. Until he decided not to do that anymore. And they just basically, as you'll see today, took over the whole store. You know, we have vendors and it's like walking back in time in all sorts of different ways.
Oh, yeah. In fact, what happened was last Saturday night, mm-hmm. the Christmas thing was going on. And Brenda and I, we live on 404 North State. Okay, so we live. And
just down the street.
We said, okay, let's put on our coats and let's just walk down the street and go get something to eat at George's. And we're walking by your store and I spotted these glasses, the same glasses that I came in and picked up and I was talking to you, right?
Right.
I spotted those glasses in the window, those drinking glasses. And I just said, oh, because I'm kind of into drinking glasses now, you know, just.
That's what keeps people coming is that little collectible,
just, yeah,
right?
So kind of into those. And I saw those and came back in, bought them, was talking to you. But it was cool to walk through your store. I mean, just so many different things that you have. And it's all vendors.
It is. And Flippin' Santa. So if you haven't been there, we have I don't even know how old it is, but everybody every year is a tradition, right in the window. He flips all day. The kids kind of like, you know, put their noses up to the window to see, you know, what he's doing. But that's what's fascinating is that every time you move so many feet, it's another vendor. And every vendor does something different. Some are vintage, you know, some are primitives. Then you got glassware. I mean, it's just like, you know, people come in, it's like, do you have... You have to say, well, we might. Yeah, because there's like 23 different vendors currently in there.
So how does that work? You're renting square footage space to these vendors, right?
Yep, we rent space. We don't take any kind of commission. If you make $500 or you make $5,000 off that space, that's your money. And what that does, it drives people to come in and do more changes, right, and keep it up to date and fresh. And by vendors working, you know, different days and stuff, we'll see people come in.
So how does that work? How do, like, okay, let's say I want to rent a space.
Yep.
Okay. And I want to, say I want to rent a space 10 by 10. Well, what's that going to cost me?
Well, we don't have ones that small, but most of, you know.
Oh, you don't? What's the size?
Probably more like 20.
20 by 20?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good size space,
right?
400 square feet.
Well, because most of them have been there, so they grew to probably from the 10 by 10 and got bigger as they went along. And so we, you know, ask everybody to work a couple days a month on that.
So
and
if I rent a space, I have to work 16 hours first, okay?
Something like that, you know. Uh-huh. But what you get to do when you do that, you could be working in your area, you know, cleaning it up and changing it over, you know, in between customers. But what's fascinating is most tips pick the same day of the week. And so you'll get certain clientele, right, that will come in because they buy their stuff or that's who they want to visit with. Because it's like a family, right? Uh-huh. It's a family with the community. It's family within the store. And, you know, that's why people feel so special and keep coming back.
Yeah. And how many different vendors do you have?
We have about 23, 24 now. We're at pretty much an all-time high. We're doing shelving units now, which we didn't do before.
Shelving units.
Yep. So we have just like so many shelving units that, you know, if you got small stuff, you don't do furniture or anything like that. And really, it's just to get your foot in the door, because the way you get a bigger space is it's always offered to vendors first.
So you rent some square footage on shelving.
Yep.
Ah,
there's
I
nothing.
See.
If you've ever been in a collectible store, there is nothing sacred. Anything could be rented. You just have to have imagination. Like, how would I divide this up? You know, and you come up with a plan, and everybody joins in.
So basically, you got like 30 people helping out in the store.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
And they all have their days that they come in.
They do.
And there's you don't, but you don't really control that. Who controls that, or who makes the schedule? Is that you?
No. It's all up to them. They have a calendar out, and you come, you just sign up for your days. And Steve's great. He fills in all the days that somebody, you know, can't make it. And then, that you know, and people get sick and things like that happen. And again, it's family. So yeah. Everybody pitches in during those hard times, too, to make sure that you take care of yourself first, right?
And I guess kind of like what you're talking about, if it's your day to work, it's your day to maybe sell your stuff. And like you let people know you're going to be in there, right?
Well, absolutely. My mom used to, when she ran it, right? She was pretty much the only person there every day. And so when we had to change to this, because I couldn't be there every day, fly back and forth from Alaska would be a little bit hard to do.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get there that fast. But people came in more often, right? Because before, you know, once a month you get paid, you kind of pick up your check, you kind of bring some things in. When you're coming in every week, you know, when it's slower, you rearrange things, you bring in another box. And so it just keeps everything more fresh. And those who shop, who come on a regular basis, can see that, right? Nobody wants to come and say, oh, well, I saw all this, you know, last week.
Right. Yeah,
they want to know what the new stuff is, right? Yeah. The new old stuff.
So it's ever changing.
Yeah, ever changing. That's when you ask us, you know, what do you have? Honestly, sometimes we'll know where some of it is, but, you know, people come in all sorts of times. They come in after hours and rearrange their booths, you know, whatever. Because a lot of them have, you know, regular jobs as well. So they have to fit it in the way they can.
Is there any specialty things that you have at your store that you think kind of separate you from others? As far as your
I think it's
source?
Just a variety. I mean,
the variety.
You know, yeah, the variety, because every vendor kind of has their what they go look for. And so they become specialties in those. I mean, we have probably some of the most unique primitives that people put together. We have a vendor that, you know, they rebuild the furniture, you know, some, you know, repaint it. We got others that's just about glassware. We got some into furniture. You know, it doesn't just bring one type of person. I think that's what really helps.
Mm-hmm. And the building was a funeral home at one time.
It was a funeral home. It was back in the day when funerals were in the homes, if people don't remember that. So, you know, they didn't need to have the regular funeral home, as you think about it. So our whole upstairs is where they built the coffins and actually furniture all the way from cribs to coffins, right?
And that was usually the case.
Yep.
If the funeral service also was the funeral store.
They
had carpenters and they were building.
Well, and the elevator has a rope to it. So it was one of those where you had to pull the rope all the way up, you know, to get the wood up there to be able to build this stuff. And then
the
coffins went down. And then at some point people were like, you know, it's just not really that much fun having funerals in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they bought the building next door. So it was actually two buildings at one time. And if you come, you can kind of see a little stage area and there's a picture that shows you what the funeral looked like. And they even have the tin ceilings even out in the garage because that's where the hearse was, right? So everybody would go out. So everything was really fancy from the beginning of the store. And they even had horse and wagons at that time that went out the front to take the coffin, you know, even before the hearse. So, but even my mom, she's like, I know there's ghosts in here. You can just tell. And she had the Ghostbusters. I mean, an actual group that called themselves Ghostbusters who checked to see if there was any.
Was there any ghosts?
They didn't find any, but maybe they were just out for the day.
that could be. I got to ask you this. Now, you've been involved in the store since you were a kid, right?
Yep.
Your mom's had it, right?
Yep.
What kind of changes have you seen going on State Street around the store over the years?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, the downtown's changing more to office space versus like stores and things like that, which makes it more difficult to have one. The new highway coming in, we've been watching it and kind of hoping it stops where it's at right now so they don't go around town.
Right.
Because, you know, you need that foot traffic. We're not a Walmart where, you know, You can do that. You want a bunch of different antique collectible stores because when individuals come, they want to make a lot of stops, right?
Right.
So the more you can keep it as like a walking downtown shopping draws more people.
Well, if you remember, several years ago, there was a lot of empty spaces on.
There was a lot of empty spaces.
But you guys were still operating.
We were. We actually did very well during COVID and the rest of it because
people could go. No, I'm talking about even longer back than that.
Yeah.
You know, we 20 years ago, 30
gone.
Years ago. There was times when I remember one time counting 14 different empty spaces, some of them boarded up and down State Street, which is not the case today.
No, most of them are open. I mean, all sorts of different kinds of things have gone in.
Yeah. And as like you say, there is more office space than right. there is store space. So, we did have another store open up, Duggar's Furniture Store opened up just down the street
nice.
Recently. So that's another... Yeah. And he does similar to you. He does consignment, you know, for people wanting to get rid of furniture, you know.
That's
as
cool
well.
Because it keeps that variety in, right? I think I find it fascinating. They just painted the store next to ours, right? Painted the brick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, but that's not history, right? And I think that's where we are. It's like, it's not just the store, but it's about the history of Jerseyville and, you know, what it was and how we're still trying to keep that flavor, you know, going.
Yes.
But I mean, it looks nice, but yeah. It's just kind of fascinating to see kind of the new next to the old.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Going with it.
I mean, it all looks good for sure, but I kind of lean toward, you know, when I was in the construction, mine was innovation and renovation.
Right.
You know, that's what we
see,
did.
That's, ours is very opposite. It's like, no. You know, we have people come in, we have round radiators, and they're like, can we buy those? We're like, no, we actually use those. That's our heat every day.
Well, when I say innovation, renovation, we were into restoring back the way it was.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, but bringing it up to the 2000 level, you know, right. as far as all the amenities, you know, so you can operate. But, you know, just restoring, which there's the restoration part, which I liked, but and you do too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's hard to keep some of that up. I mean, the old tin that they made the, you know, ceilings out of, which are really cool, and, you know, the different kind of, the things that just make it special, the old staircases, you know, and the natural wood that it has.
Well, Tammy, it's been nice having you, but we've ran out of time. So,
well, it was great to be here, and I hope people come visit Jerseyville for all the things it has.
Yeah, everything up and down the street.
Yep.
And you're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sundays, 12 to 5.
Yep, just come on in and visit and just take it back, you know, be like walking back in time.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.